the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, episode 201 of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Sid, I'm glad you're back on the mic. How are you feeling today?
Dude, feels good. Feels good to be back here with you.
Yeah.
Excited about that.
We've got a great
It's September, bro.
For those listening live, this is big time. So we've got in the show notes, we want to make sure that everybody knows that's listening, that they're invited. We are at so many different events over the next few months. Dude. So there's tons. We'll put them all in the show notes. I usually like to say that we're inviting you to 10 because we are in 10 different places over the next little bit, but there are a number of different events. So we've got our conferences coming up, which is one of the really helpful places to train your volunteer team. So if you're listening, you're a volunteer, that you and the rest of the volunteers on your team can come together, can think about youth ministry, talk about youth ministry. We've got some really important guests at these conferences.
Yeah, get to the YWC conferences.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the five. I love that. Vancouver, yeah. Calgary, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, and Moncton.
And Jer, let's connect it here. If you're in Ontario, you got to get to Today's Teens.
Well, you said we got to do the ours. So the five first. Great. So we've got, yeah. So, and we've got some good guests. We've got Kyla Gillespie, who was a guest on the podcast last week. Yeah. We've got Ebony Davis is coming in, which is a lot of fun.
Hey, Jer, we're not shirking away from any of the hard conversations this year. And I think we have people who are personally experiencing the things we're talking about, but not just that, have put real thought into it.
Yeah.
You think about Ebony, dude. She's she's done nationally based research around North America on developing spiritual resilience in kids' lives. And the fact that we get to be with her and interact with her, how awesome is that, bro?
Yes. So those five events, you're invited. You got to be there. Yeah, if you're in Ontario, then yes, Today's Teens is where we're going to be there. Today's Teens is the conference. We're hosting it this year. And so that one, you can bring your whole volunteer team. You can actually bring your students to that one.
Yeah. And Matt Wilkinson is our director for Today's Teens and absolutely kills the game over there, right? We're so excited about working with him.
Yeah. And so that's coming up in the winter. In Ontario this fall, if you're at Change Conference, we're doing all the volunteer training there for youth workers.
And we love our friends at Change Conference.
Yes.
You know what? So, hey, listen, just again, Change Conference is this awesome evangelistic event that you could bring your kids to, your students to, as a part of your yearly rhythm. Be super helpful. But not only that, Jer, they're also producing some resources, some online stuff that can be helpful beyond just the event as well. And we're super thankful to partner with YFC and Change Conference. We think it's amazing.
Yeah. And then Youth Pastor Summit. We actually have a short audio bit that we'll throw to tell people about the Youth Pastor Summit. So let's take a listen to that.
Hey, if you're a youth pastor in Canada, we're hosting an event just for you called the Canadian Youth Pastor Summit, and you're invited. The Youth Pastor Summit is a three-day gathering designed exclusively for youth pastors to help you plan and collaborate around your next season of youth ministry. At the summit, you'll connect with leading voices in the youth space, fellow youth pastors from across Canada, and most importantly, you'll meet with Jesus. Together, over the 3 days, we'll explore topics like identity formation, strategic focuses for your youth ministry, cultivating resilience in your students, and much more. All for the purpose of sending you back to serve the students and families of your church, full of vision and equipped with highly practical training. We'll be in Vancouver this October 23rd to 25th for the Summit West, and in Mississauga March 5th to 7th of next year for the Summit East. We have limited spots available, so save yours or learn more at youthpastorsummit.ca. That's youthpastorsummit.ca. We hope to see you in Vancouver this fall or Mississauga in the spring as we come together for the sake of a generation.
Okay, there you go. So we got to see you there in...
Jer, one other thing. In October coming up, I get to go to Halifax for One Hope Canada's national conference of camp workers from across Canada.
Yes.
So camp workers are dear to our heart, bro. you know, like we love camp workers, and there's a number of organizations doing amazing camp work. And One Hope Canada is actually about missionaries passing faith on to the next generation in Canada, not just in camp, but heavy in camp. So yeah. We get to be there as well. Like we get to be a part of so many great communities yep. that are fighting to pass faith to the next generation. And we find it a huge privilege. Can't wait to connect. Oh, yep. Jerry, we should also say, dude, our coalition starts up here at the end of the month as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So we've got 50 youth pastors, youth workers from across Canada, 49, I think, right now, that are going to be a part of the coalition, our two-year training program for youth ministry leadership. And by the way, if someone else is sitting here going, man, I wouldn't mind some of that, you should contact us or get to the website and check it out. So
yeah, again, we'll put stuff in the show notes. Master's level education, if you want to get your Master of Arts, we can get that
while
for you in a couple of years.
While you're still in your local context.
While you're still in your local context. Yeah, bachelor's degree, all that stuff. Okay, now for this conversation, Sid, this one is blowing your mind a little bit. So we're going to roll, so you guys know, this is a conversation about AI and youth ministry. And so we're going to roll about 13, 14 minutes, an interview that I had with AI. So I just want to explain what you're about to listen to. What I did is I asked a few questions, things like when you think about helping teenagers, you'll hear my voice, but you know, following Jesus, what are some of the challenges that teenagers face today? How do we think about AI, about exposure to information, and all the changes in technology that's happening as it pertains to faith in particular, faith formation. That's what we're thinking about. I took those questions. I put them into ChatGPT. So you guys have heard that. I got answers from ChatGPT, and then I took that and I threw it into an AI voice generator. And so what you're going to hear isn't a real human being. It's me taking ChatGPT and putting it into a voice generator, and this is a computer that's going to talk to you.
Yeah, but wait, Jared, then did you also take my voice? And
yes, bonus if you listen to the end is I have cloned Sid's voice, and I will make it say anything. Jeepers. That they want to, but here's the point of all this. This is technology that is accessible to everybody, and it's wild. You'll hear there's some glitches in the voice.
Did it cost you any money to do this? Like, did we have to get a subscription or anything, Jared, to do this?
For ChatGPT, you can use it for free. I did the upgrade to get the more advanced version because I wanted to make sure that this was legitimate, like where the technology is going. And then the voice thing also you can use for free, but to use it for longer stretches, which is what I used it for, you pay. I forget if it's like $20 or something like that.
But here's the deal. So when you're done listening to this, Jer, people are going to listen to you and I have a conversation. And
we are real people. We need to clarify. We are real human beings right now. We will always tell you when you're listening to a computer.
Or I could be ChatGPT or whatever.
No, we will always tell you.
Tricking you to think I'm a real person. But dude, but here's the deal. What's going to happen is when we're done listening to this, you're going to get Jer and I's real-time interaction with it. So we haven't put a ton of thought into it. Like some, we're talking about it a bit. But some of it, and what are the implications for youth ministry? But Jer, what I'm excited about is you're going to have our friend Andy Steiger from Apologetics Canada, who's done some serious thinking at a very high level around AI and ministry. And we're going to have him on the podcast to help us process this as well.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that. And by the way, Andy's going to be at a number of our conferences talking about this too. So you know what? Like some of us are going, this doesn't really affect my life very much, but in all honesty, it does. It's around us. We're here. Okay, we believe in a sovereign God. He's called us to a time such as this. How do we start like interacting with this from a kingdom way? And that's what we want to kind of get the mind going on it.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a listen to my interview conversation.
ChatGPT.
When you think about helping teenagers choose to follow Jesus, what are some of the challenges that those teenagers face today?
It's like they're navigating this crazy maze that's changing every single second. I mean, think about those teen years. They're like this massive quest for identity, right? Everyone's trying to figure out who they are. And smack dab in the middle of all that self-discovery, there's this tidal wave of peer pressure. It's like this massive force trying to shape you, pushing you to fit in, to conform, to be part of the crowd. And man, when your faith feels like it's swimming against that current, that's tough. Then there's the digital age. I sometimes think it's a blessing and a curse. There's this unending stream of information coming at them 24/7. It's like having the world's biggest library and the world's noisiest marketplace in your pocket. Sure, there's a ton they can learn and ways they can be inspired, but it's so easy to get lost or worse, be fed misleading stuff. And speaking of the stuff they come across, there's this growing vibe of moral relativism, this idea that, hey, what's true for you might not be true for me. It kind of challenges the foundational aspects of the Christian faith, which says there are certain truths that are, well, true. It can make the faith feel like it's out of touch or even narrow-minded in today's world. Plus, let's not even get started on how packed their schedules are. It's like a jigsaw puzzle on steroids. School, soccer practice, part-time jobs, hanging out with friends, yeah, so the list goes on. And squeezing in some time for faith amidst all that hustle, that's a real challenge.
Tell me more about the overexposure to information. How are we seeing students get overwhelmed, confused, or misled?
You know, when you talk about overexposure to information, it's like imagining being in the middle of Times Square with screens everywhere, blasting information at you nonstop. That's sort of what it's like for teens today, but it's all happening right in their pockets with their smartphones. They've got this 24/7 connection to everything and everyone. Back in the day, if we wanted to know something, we'd have to dig up an encyclopedia or maybe ask someone older. Now, they just pull out their phones and bam, instant information. But here's the thing. Not everything they come across is accurate or beneficial. I mean, one minute they're watching a video on history, and the next they're down some conspiracy theory rabbit hole. It's wild. And the sheer volume of it all, man, it's overwhelming. It's like drinking water from a fire hose. They're not just absorbing facts. They're also navigating opinions, personal stories, memes, and let's face it, a lot of noise. So it's no wonder that they can get a bit lost, feel overwhelmed, or even end up believing something that's way off track. And because of this information overload, it's even more crucial for us to guide them, help them develop those critical thinking skills, and most importantly, be there to chat and untangle some of that digital web with them.
Is it just media literacy, or do you think that we should actually be encouraging students to unplug from technology in significant ways? Like in some ways, would you say that this, like the advances that we're seeing with our technology, they're not actually redeemable with teenagers?
That's such a loaded question, right? So media literacy is super important. I mean, we're in the digital age and there's no turning back from that. We've got to equip our teens to navigate this online world wisely, to separate the wheat from the chaff, if you will. But I gotta say, there's also something really special about just unplugging, taking a moment to breathe and being present in the real world. I remember when we were kids, we had these moments where we'd just stare at the clouds, have face-to-face chats, or just, I don't know, be bored, and there's creativity and clarity that comes from those offline moments. So yeah, I totally believe in the value of encouraging teens to take tech breaks to experience life without filters and notifications buzzing every second. But to say the advances in technology are completely non-redeemable, I wouldn't go that far. There's so much potential in tech for learning, connecting, even for things like social justice campaigns. We just need to strike a balance. Use tech as a tool, not let it become the master of our lives, especially for these impressionable young minds.
So I asked you in a different thread, what kinds of messages are teenagers seeing and hearing that are pushing them away from the church, Christianity, or Jesus? And you mentioned that many perceive religion, specifically Christianity, as old-fashioned and not in touch with modern society. So how do you think we can help teenagers see that religion and the Christian faith, that they're actually essential and incredibly important to their day-to-day life?
Making Christianity resonate with today's teenagers involves understanding their worldview and meeting them where they are. The key is to make the message of the gospel relatable to them. This doesn't mean diluting core truths, but rather framing them in a context that speaks to the modern young individual. By engaging in current events and societal challenges, we can show teenagers that Christianity offers timeless wisdom and guidance that's relevant to the issues they care about, be it social justice, environmental concerns, or mental health. A particularly impactful method to connect with them is through personal testimonies. When young individuals hear stories from their peers or slightly older youth about how faith has transformed their lives, it challenges the perception of Christianity as being detached from their reality. Active community involvement can also underscore the practical and transformative power of faith. When teenagers get involved in outreach programs or community service rooted in their beliefs, they can witness the real-world implications of their faith, seeing how it benefits themselves and others. One critical aspect of engaging teenagers is creating environments where their doubts and questions are welcome. They're at a stage where they're exploring their identity and beliefs, so having a space where they can voice doubts, ask hard questions, and grapple with their faith is vital. Building strong, trusting relationships through mentorship can also guide them. By connecting them with trusted adults or slightly older mentors who live out their faith authentically, teenagers can see firsthand how Christianity intersects with daily life. Rather than viewing technology as a rival to faith, we can leverage it as a tool. There's a wealth of digital resources, from apps to online groups, that can help teenagers explore Christianity in a context that's familiar to them. Lastly, it's essential to equip teenagers with the tools to understand and defend their beliefs. By introducing them to Christian apologetics, they'll be better prepared to discuss their faith confidently in diverse environments. In all these efforts, authenticity is paramount. Teenagers value genuine interactions and can discern when something is done for show. Demonstrating a genuine, consistent, and live-it-out faith can go a long way in showing them that Christianity is not just relevant, but vital for their lives.
In light of the needing to see authenticity and genuine faith, do you think that we should actually make sure that our faith is separated from the use of tools like ChatGPT and other AI softwares? Should we actually discourage students from using those tools when trying to understand more about the Christian faith?
The integration of technology into faith practices is a nuanced issue, especially when it comes to something as advanced as AI, like ChatGPT. On the one hand, AI tools can provide quick answers, references, and resources on the Christian faith, serving as a starting point for inquiry. For example, if a teenager has a basic question about a Bible passage or the history of Christianity, AI can provide an immediate and generally accurate response. However, there are significant facets of faith that an AI simply cannot understand or convey, such as the depth of personal spiritual experiences, the intricacies of moral dilemmas, or the emotional resonance of a faith journey. Authenticity and genuine faith often come from personal experiences, community interactions, prayer, reflection, and mentorship, things that AI, despite its intelligence, cannot genuinely offer. There's a relational aspect to faith that's deeply human and inherently personal. Moreover, relying solely on AI for spiritual growth could inadvertently lead to a shallow understanding. There's a risk of simplifying profound theological concepts or reducing faith to mere information consumption without the deeper spiritual engagement and community interactions that are vital for genuine understanding and growth. That said, it doesn't necessarily mean that AI tools should be entirely discouraged. Instead, they could be used with discernment for those new to Christianity or seeking quick information. Tools like ChatGPT can be beneficial. But for deeper, more personal questions or guidance, human interaction, be it through mentors, pastors, or community groups, will always be invaluable. In essence, while AI can supplement understanding and provide informational support, the journey of faith is deeply personal and experiential, best navigated with human guidance, community support, and personal reflection.
Do you think youth workers should actually use AI to help them in their mission to lead students towards Jesus? And if you say yes, if you think so, do you think they should, what should they actually be doing with it?
The role of technology and AI in faith-based endeavors like youth work is multifaceted. When approached judiciously, AI can undoubtedly augment the efforts of youth workers in their mission. AI has the capacity to handle vast amounts of information, facilitate communication, and assist with organizational tasks. For instance, using AI-powered tools, youth workers could analyze the preferences and needs of their audience, tailor content for better engagement, or even automate certain administrative tasks, freeing up more time for direct interaction with students. Additionally, AI could assist in gathering relevant resources, articles, or media that can be used in sessions, making the content more relatable to the younger generation. In settings where large groups are involved, AI could assist in segmenting communication, ensuring messages are personalized and relevant. However, the core of youth work, guiding students towards a personal relationship with Jesus, is deeply relational. While AI can provide tools and resources, it cannot replicate the personal touch, understanding, empathy, and spiritual insight that a human youth worker brings to the table. It's the moments of genuine human connection, understanding, shared experiences, and mentorship that often have the most profound impact on students' faith journey. So, should youth workers use AI? Yes, but with discernment and as a supplementary tool. The primary interactions, teachings, and guidance should remain rooted in genuine human connection and the authentic sharing of faith. It's about striking a balance, leveraging the efficiencies and capabilities of AI, while ensuring the essence of the youth work remains human-centric and spiritually grounded.
All right, Sid. It's the end of the world as
First
we know
of all,
it.
Here's what I feel like. I feel like, Jerry, you have so much power over my life. Like, mm-hmm. you could make me say a number of things out there that would put an end to our ministry. But just so you know, so I'm going to get nervous when I start thinking you have another job lined up and how you want to exit Truth Matters Ministry. That's where I'm
No. Okay. Well, we'll do the funny bit in a minute where I do have your voice cloned to show how easy it is. Here's the implication. So there's a couple things going. This is us just riffing. We haven't talked about this ahead of time. Yeah. So there's the ability to have thoughtful conversation with the AI and for them to actually respond in such a way, like those responses, like I didn't curate that. Like that was what spit out.
No. So like, Jerry, when I listened to it, I said, oh, I felt like someone's just given me like the major points from every youth ministry book I've read. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in one sense, you know, we're always trying to gather good data or information that we mm-hmm. want to communicate to others or main points of knowing. In one sense, it's like whatever Youth Ministry for Dummies, if we had that book that gave us all the main points, but it puts it together really quick and spits it out to us in a way that seems really accessible. So when I think about it from that perspective, I feel like, oh, I've got access to Wikipedia in a new way right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's one way to frame it that way that I go, that's pretty interesting. Like that stimulated a lot of my thinking when I was listening to it. You know, they push a lot into, hey, teach kids to be discerning, understanding that it can't take the place of the relational nature of faith. Your role with a kid is most important. Like, oh, great. Like that's, in that sense, it's helpful. Okay, so in that sense, I'm like, cool.
And to use the technical language, I think, right? I mean, I could be getting this a little bit wrong, I think this is called generative AI, generative artificial intelligence. So ChatGPT, even this voice thing, what it does is it takes inputs and then it machine learns on it and then it can spit out outputs based on response. So the intelligence is simply, it's like a superpowered Google in some ways. You know, if you push the boundaries on it, it'll tell you it's taking basically everything from the internet from, you know, mid 2021 or something like that. And that's what it's using to generate responses. And so when you say like, hey, it sounds like every youth ministry book I've read, it's because not that it's exactly read every youth ministry book, but kind of like that's kind of where it's going. It's spitting out the wisdom of the internet. And so it's missing, you know, what hasn't been inputted into the internet, which is, you know, important to note. But for students, so on the ChatGPT side of things, like the ability to leverage ideas and become more articulate based on their inputs into like ChatGPT, like you can easily put in like what are some of the best arguments against the faith, and it's going to spit out stuff that our students would never have come up on their own. All of a sudden they've got tools based on whatever they're putting in, but it's only the strength of whatever you put into it,
right? And then I'm trying to think about what bothers me. Like, I think those are some pretty basic things. I go, hey, I think that's pretty cool. Like, I found that to be helpful.
Yeah. So there's that stuff is interesting because it does talk about like information and how we process it. But then the other side that I think we have to be ready for is the voice thing and like the video thing, which is also a deal, means that from here on, the idea of bullying and the idea of doing inappropriate things all of a sudden becomes much more accessible. So you'll be able to, like, students will clone their friends' voices. That'll be, like, an easy thing here in a minute. And all of a sudden, they'll be sending voice texts that it'll sound like me saying something inappropriate to get a laugh.
Yeah, and it like, our sinful nature can take over, right? And it'll, quote-unquote, weaponize this stuff in some really destructive ways that will have even deeper negative imprints on other people's lives. The same thing, like when bullying moved online, all of a sudden you were never disengaged from it, right? Like it used to be when we'd leave school, great, we're in a safe space, but now it falls with. Now it's going to have nuance, voice, person. Like there'll be a sense of being deeply personal. So I think that's a real concern, Jer. And I think that's really appropriate for us to be thinking about how it can be used in very negative ways. And here's the other part of it, Jer, that I'm thinking about right now too, because it's sounding more and more like human and nuanced all the time. I think we'll give it more authority in our life. That's the part that I'm a little bit concerned about as well, is the way the ideas come at us will come with even like more authority and more weight, even though it certainly doesn't deserve that. So the impact, you know, will be more significant in terms of how kids can treat each other. And even in believability, I think, different things like that fascinates me. In terms of like, will it remove our, what's the word I'm looking for? The filter that just makes me go, oh, this is a machine. So I'm just getting information, but now it feels like it's more than a machine. Like it has thoughtfulness behind it. So now it's maybe influencing me more. So that kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Well, and so then we are not obviously landing anywhere, but this is fine.
No.
Here's the thing. I think this is the third thing that maybe is going to be the sweet spot we got to be ready for is it's going to be the final destruction of our trust of our devices and machines. And I think even for the young new generation, there's going to be an interesting desire to have real authentic connections. Okay. So what happened, I think, over the last, you know, 15 years and even maybe 20 years with smartphones is that we just naturally leaned into them. Social media, students are like on TikTok, the algorithm, and we've all known that it's bad, but as it continues to go, I think it's going to disillusion us to the Brilliant. Point where it'll push us back into the real, into the flesh and blood kind of connections.
Right. Because this is when we know and can trust, like at this point anyways, that's where we know and can trust that what's happening is actually real. So what you're saying is it might create a greater awareness for the need of in-person experience, which is fantastic. Actually, that's really, really good. I don't mind if we raise more distrust for our digital devices or the information there. Like that part doesn't actually, I'm actually not opposed to that, I don't think right now. So everyone's concerned about fake news or even like nuanced news or weighted news, that kind of thing. So that might grow the distrust. And I love the idea that it says, hey, what we do in person may be more important than it's ever been. Yeah. Well, it is. And actually the kids will be looking for it more than ever.
I think that I'm guessing a little bit, but I just think, you know, I don't know if this is for you even personally, Sid, but like, I think people are getting I'm hearing that they're getting disillusioned. You know, I was reading an article today, even that the Meta system. So Instagram and Facebook, people are disengaging with them because as they twist their algorithm towards TikToks, you're just always now seeing, or you're seeing more often, you know, accounts you don't follow, accounts that they're trying to suggest. And it's becoming, it's drawing people in for sure. That's the power of that algorithm. But I think people are starting to wisen up to it more and more. And so because of that, you're becoming disillusioned by the fact that as you're scrolling, you're like, I think I'm starting to just see bots. I'm just seeing, you know, things that are going to make me outrage for the outrage's sake. And I think the more that happens, the more we get disengaged. And so the heightened nature of AI on those platforms and the content that we see all of a sudden is everything just, you know, generated by computers that are exactly trying to pull me in will cause us like I said, to just say, I need something that I know is real. And so that's where I'm going to just, if I'm in space with people, that's going to be better.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's my guess.
Okay, Jared, here's my other one. My other side of it that I'm concerned about is for us as youth workers, volunteers, or point leaders, you know, we have limited amount of time to prepare, say, content for our evenings or our times with our students. Dude, like that little 12-minute sesh was a pretty incredible piece of content that you could use. Like I could take that to a youth worker training session, press play on that, and now we could have conversation and discussion after that. That could actually be quite valuable to some degree. Here's the problem. I really believe that our preparation as youth workers, whether you're a volunteer or a point leader, that God actually shapes us in our preparation. And while I love good resources, we produce digital resources to help youth ministries. We love that. But the preparation of content, you know, especially biblical content, actually shapes us. That's the space where Jesus does shaping work in us. And I'm really nervous that this, again, will allow us to produce content, but make us more shallow as leaders and shepherds and people who are discipling. And, you know, we know as the world has sped up, et cetera, et cetera. That's a real issue. But that concerns me a lot when I'm thinking about this.
Yeah, that's a good notice for us just to be processing what is our understanding in relationship to content.
Correct.
Because a lot of times we can take our faith and assume it's just content. Like,
Let me give you an example, Jared, just for me. You know, like I preached at a church in Edmonton the other weekend. And one of the things that's interesting is some churches will ask me to speak to their sermon series. And I'll be honest with you, coming out of the summer and they asked me to speak to their sermon series, I was not jacked about having to prep a whole new sermon. Like that, we all know that takes a lot of hours. If I could just pull something that I have on my can, it's good for the audience in that moment because it's true. It's already been tested. So I know it can connect.
Pull some, just to clarify so people heard your voice correctly, pull something out of the can. Like as like you have pre-selected content, not just pull something while you're on the can. I didn't know if that was just to clarify.
Yeah.
In case it was a little,
Thank you. You know what, Jared? I've hit 50. So right now the metaphors all blend a little bit. That's not quite as clear as you'd want it to. You guys, I'm so glad to have Jared and our team around. They just help me not say things that are going
to
ruin.
Just to clarify, anyway, that's all.
Just to clarify. But here's the point. I was forced to spend significant time in study and preparation, and it shaped me. Like, so I asked me to preach on work and worship. I hadn't really given deep thought to like what's God's call and how we should engage work as an act of worship. And it actually shaped me and it helped form me in that process. My concern with some of these technologies is they're moving us far. It's never easy to do the prep work, but God shapes us in that because as followers of Christ, we believe in the scriptures so much that the Holy Spirit works through the scriptures. Content is a part of our culture, our way of being. And some of these things just concerns me that it moves us away from that time spent, which is what shapes us as people. And that would be a big concern for me as well.
It's good though, because I think, you know, from a content perspective, you know, the invention of the calculator, people are wondering, well, why do I have to learn my times tables when I could just have a calculator? And you're like, at some level, there is something there where recall of information isn't as important anymore, but then we're left with trying to understand how does our learning actually shape and form who we are? And so then that's certainly from a faith perspective as well. So where we see, you know, educational institutions wrestling with this, schools wrestling with it, what does it mean if they can just punch in and they can write a whole essay? And it's like, yeah, but now it's forcing us to wrestle with the fact of what do we really want? How do we really want to be formed? What do we really want to have shape us? What kind of human beings do we want to be? And I think those are good questions to wrestle with when we think about faith.
Yeah. And what difference does it make for us? Like one of the things we've always said, Jerry, is that, you know, the scriptures and being a follower of Jesus is not just the transmission of content. We want to be a part of life transformation and we can know a whole lot of things, but that doesn't mean that we actually intimately, experientially know Jesus and the Holy Spirit is shaping us. And one of our concerns is that this continues to like exaggerate that process that moves us away from a space where the word is alive and active in our own lives. And the Spirit is using that as we meditate in that space to shape us, which changes the way we love, care for, journey with our young people.
Yeah.
Dude, this conversation is like so much and we're going to keep doing it. Right. And we're going to, at our conferences, Jer, like I said, Andy's going to come and talk a little bit at some of our conferences anyways.
Yeah.
And hey, one of the things we're excited about, Jer, is that technology has allowed us to bring in some expert voices on topics like this. So Andy will be digitally live at some of the conferences, physically at others, but we're going to be able to have a real interaction on these things that we just wouldn't get if we didn't have technology. So we're not anti-technology, but man, we're trying to figure out, you know, to be really discerning and aware of the effects it has for us.
All right. Hey, let's send people out with a cloned Sid voice. Let's see how it does. This is the quick version. There's a long version that apparently is perfect. This is what happens in just 1 minute of loading up your voice. Let's see, hear if it's close.
All I want to do is eat a Big Mac. I'm done exercising. From here on, it's McDonald's runs every day.
Milkshakes and Big Macs are my favorite, and I am throwing out my running shoes.
There you go.
That's about right, bro. Hey, that's us at a conference. As soon as the conference is done on Friday night, that's us. All I want is a Big Mac. You came very close.
That's your voice. That's your voice.
Oh,
really easy. Oh, it's crazy, man. I don't know. Cool. There you go. All right. Well, youth workers, you make an eternal difference. And as you wade in on this stuff, you don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to know how it all works. But just keep your eyes open as our students are wrestling with a new day in technology. We'll see you next time.